Hello, you are listening to the Nintendo Switch UK podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 197 of the Nintendo Switch UK podcast. My name is Al, I'm here with you as usual, and I'm also joined by Anton. Hello, Anton.
Hello, Alistair. How are you doing this week?
I'm tickety-boo. I'm grand. You know what? I've had a pretty good week. Nothing special has happened, but it's just not been a bad week. I've not really been ill. I've finally shaken off the cough and the cold I've had for like the last couple of months. I've had a good week. You?
Excellent. Yeah, I've had a very busy week, but overall doing well. How about yourself, Mike?
Oh, I forgot to say, Mike's not joining us tonight. He's away rehearsing. I forgot to mention that. He's rehearsing for his one-man Edinburgh show called Tiny, Dangerous and Fabulous. Tickets will be available through the Edinburgh box office, I don't know, sometime in the future. But yeah, so he's away doing that right now. Sorry.
You know, the fact that I actually met Mike through the Fringe adjacent events, you know, it's on brand. It's, you know, I believe it.
I mean, let's face it, if Mike was ever going to do a one-man show, it would be called Tiny, Dangerous and Fabulous. So,
incredibly on brand. And on brand, have you had a slightly sparse week of Nintendo Switch playing, or you got some surprises in the bag?
No, I've not. I did get to play a decent chunk in one go. I was on a train down to Edinburgh and back up again, and I spent a large chunk of that train journey playing Sports Story, which I am really enjoying. It is more of the same, but I remember various people warned me when it came out that it was full of bugs and it had been patched, which fixed most of them, but not all of them, and I would say that is still very much the case. I've had the game crash on me only once so far, but it was annoying when it did it. But I've come across a few random glitches where there's like, at one point there's a mining cart goes along some tracks, and a couple of times it just randomly veered off into like nowhere. It just did weird things. And there's a glitch at the moment which is really irritating me, where you're in there was this tennis lesson, and what's supposed to happen is the coach is supposed to call out different shots and you press the corresponding button. So it's like, you know, up, down, left, right, and does a different shot. He calls out the first one. That's it. Oh. So you have no idea what button to press next. I'm completely goosed and completely stuck. I cannot progress that bit of the story because there's no way through random luck you're going to hit 10 random button presses in a row right without being told what to press. So, yeah.
And no way to go back to an earlier save point or anything like that.
I've not got multiple save points. I literally just have that one ongoing one, which is just, it's so irritating. I need them to do another patch. But the fact we're now in March and this game came out at, what, Christmas? That's 3 months in. I have a horrible feeling they've done the patch and now they're like, yeah, we'll put out a patch. Go off. It's fine.
That's very disappointing to hear, because the last game just didn't have any of these problems. It's not like, you know, it's a larger scope, but on a technical level, it's relatively similar, so it's very disappointing to hear that.
Yeah, and the mechanics in this one, they're not massively different to the last one, although it's a larger scope because they brought in all these extra sports. It's not like you're building whole different game engines for them. They're not really particularly different or taxing in any way. It's not got a complicated engine, it's not swapping things, it's still very much the same engine doing the same things, you just press a button at the right time depending on what an indicator says to do. It's all it is. So yeah, it's a little bit frustrating. I really hope they're working on a second patch, and it's just that they're a small team and they're working their way through it and doing it when they can, but it's just disappointing, frankly. How about you? Have you managed a game?
I have, and it's been quite a week for Nintendo Switching, as I bought a new Nintendo Switch this week.
Indeed, I'm guessing an OLED.
I didn't. For the high sum of £40, I bought a Nintendo Switch Lite.
With the Where did you find a light for £40?
It was on eBay. With the asterisk of, they were like, it's faulty because it freezes. Now, in the screenshot, they showed it running Scarlet and Violet, and I'm like, good to know, that's the game working as intended. So I picked it up, and it has more problems than that. So the troubleshooting begins. So overall, very happy. Good cosmetic condition, no drift. Relatively good machine. So I've got it, and it's like crashing or freezing rather on like either the menu or like the boot up Nintendo Switch logo. I'm like, okay, there's a lot more going on in here. Sometimes it was kind of going like a minute. Sometimes it was crashing in seconds. So I'm like, okay, open it up. I'm like, there's screws missing. I was like, okay, somebody's been in here. Digging a little further, I found a bit of solder paste just on the main board. It seemingly was connecting up to the speaker, so I think whenever there was a sound, it was shorting itself, and it was maybe just not... It was like thermal electric, like cheap thermal paste that also does electricity. So cleaned that up, and it was still running okay. So it was maybe sometimes running for an hour or maybe a couple minutes. So still random. So I'm like, okay, that's not very good. So when it was running for a while, it was just cooking itself. It was basically just getting hot, fans blazing, and then dying. I was like, okay, there's clearly been another repair in here. So I go back in, have a look. I'm like, okay, they did a repair and they left the old thermal paste. So clean off the thermal paste and then it's working fabulously. It's going for as long as I want, but randomly booting up. So sometimes it was booting up. Sometimes it wasn't booting up at all. I'm like, okay, so I can get it to run for long times, no worries, but it's just randomly booting. And then what I figured out is that I was holding it on one side, so if I held it in one hand with my hand in one spot, working perfectly fine. Like, it would boot consistently as many times as I wanted. So I'm like, okay, let's look into some of the common faults with Nintendo Switch. And basically, there's faults with Nintendo Switches where sometimes the CPU can get unsoldered from the board. The reason it was booting up when I was holding it in certain ways is I was using my hands, putting pressure on the CPU, pushing it back on the board. And basically, with it being a ball grid array, you know, soldering, impossible to fix unless you have like an entire heat mat. So I went for the rather handmade fix of putting a piece of cardboard in it that is slightly too thick for it and then taping it shut. And I think my creation for the people watching live is very gorgeous. It's held together with duct tape. I've dubbed him Garbo Boy Jr. And he works. So I'm very happy with that. You know, highlights have been, I can now play Tetris on it. I've been playing more Tetris on it, moved over to Tetris 99, which can't play enough Tetris. And on a more serious note, did actually pick up Breath of the Wild again. Did some of the master modes as my, like, test game of, I know how this game runs. And, you know, picked that game up the launch of the Switch when there was, like, you know, you could count Switch games on one hand. And, you know, I thought maybe some of it was, like, the new console hype and, you know, the fact there were no other games, but my God, just perfection in a video game, Al.
It is a wonderful game. There's no denying it. I do know a few people that rate it as their favourite video game of all time, and that is praise indeed. I just can't fault it. There is literally nothing wrong with it. The only thing, if you're really, really trying to find a problem, I know a lot of people go to the, weapons break thing, and I know it's annoying, but I don't... It was a deliberate mechanic. It wasn't a glitch. There was nothing wrong with it. That was something that was deliberately put in, and it made the Master Sword all the sweeter. And then they also got later on that was, you know, indestructible. I think it's a great game. Maybe I didn't... Did I love it as much as everyone else? I maybe didn't love it as much as some people do, but I can't fault it. It is still a perfect game.
Yeah, it's absolutely top-notch. So I'm very much hyped for giving that a wee go and to tap off on the Nintendo Switch Lite. It's been really nice to have something that can fit in a pocket. You know, I've been rocking the main Switch since launch. And also, this is cheaper than buying new Joy-Cons. So I have ordered the parts for the repair I spoke about in the last podcast. I'm cheapskating it, so they're going to come in like a bazillion years in a bottle by the ocean. I'll get them, but right
when
now...
When they turn up, you'll be like, what is this? I don't remember ordering this. It'll be that far in the past.
Exactly, but currently very proud of my very janky Nintendo Switch fix that's held together with electrical tape and is very hideous. I love them. Very charming.
Gotta say, you're braver than me. My latest set of Joy-Cons that I maybe bought a year and a half ago, they're starting to drift now as well. I pretty much don't own a set of Joy-Cons that don't drift. It's just so irritating. But at the same time, I keep buying them.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off. The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
Yeah, I'm kind of at the point now where I'm like, I can't break them more, which is a lie because I can, but I like to tell myself I won't.
Well, if you find a reliable way of fixing them that's not too difficult, I might try and follow in your footsteps. Otherwise, go and buy some third-party ones instead. But if I could find a third-party one, I'm sure that there's hundreds. You will know them inside out because we probably talk about them every single week. But if I could find a third-party Joy-Con that had all the accelerometers and all the various bits and pieces in it that just wasn't Nintendo, I would go and buy that tomorrow.
Yeah, I think the at the moment for me, it's the best case scenario is getting those electromagnetic joysticks. I think that's going to be the big game changer. So a wee bit to go, but once those arrive, I'll be chucking them in. I might put them in Garbo Boy Jr. as well. And I think that's going to be ideal. And I think the first third party, there's been a limited edition GameCube style ones, but the first party that makes electromagnetic Joy-Cons that are easily in like within of Joy-Con prices, it's going to be a real game changer.
Yeah, I'd be signing up for them. Absolutely, no question about it. Anyway, we've waffled for far too long. I don't know how long. We've been waffling for 11 minutes, Anton. We really need to get into an actual show here and talk about news, because that's what we're here to do. So, without further ado, let's do some news.
Tell us that people want to know.
First up, Fabled Games has announced Pirates Outlaws for Nintendo Switch, published by Blitzwork. It's described as a swashbuckling turn-based card game coming out on the 29th of March. I mean, when I read Pirates Outlaws, I did wonder, is that supposed to be like Pirate In-Laws, the opposite of, or what? And then I went and watched the video and I completely lost all interest, Anton.
Yeah, you know, sometimes when it's these well-trodden genres or saturated genres, putting it in a unique setting can be enough to make it stand out. However, with this one, it's just not doing it. There's not enough in here, and I think the card mechanics of it feel nothing too crazy. It's it's a fun animated version of Top Trumps at the moment. It's just looks a little bit well trodden for the moment, and I think for the genre, we've had a lot of card based games.
Yeah, I feel like we went through a phase when we got just bombarded with them constantly. I don't remember seeing one, or at least not talked about one anyway for a while. I mean, they're constantly coming out, but we've not bothered talking about any of them in the show. Clearly, it's been a very slow news week if you've pulled this one out of the announcements, Anton.
It has been a little. There's some fun stuff later on, but there are a couple smaller stories, but we're honest, so we'll tell you what they are.
Indeed, indeed. Before we move off the Pirates Outlaws, what did you make of the visual style? Because I wanted to like it. It's got that kind of sort of polygon look, but not. It's kind of flat and 2D, but I don't know how to describe it, Anton. How do you describe that?
Yeah, I would just say it's palatable, you know? It's not really doing anything too outlandish. It serves a function.
Simplistic and easy to draw / code.
Exactly.
Oh, we need to stop being so mean. Okay. Let's talk about one that's probably a bit more fun. Mogato have announced Froggen Encore for the Switch, published by Top Hat Studios, a retro puzzle platformer inspired by sort of N64 era. It's a sequel to the last one we got. This one's coming out some point this year. I don't think we actually have an actual release date for it yet. But the first Froggen was really well received.
Indeed. You know, I remember when we covered it, it was kind of, it could go either way. It had some promise. It tickled our nostalgia funny bone. But, you know, it wasn't like, oh my god, it's looking super polished and refined in the trailers. But then people got their hands on it, and it was a polished, refined, good video game. This one looks refined from the get-go, while still keeping its roots in the N64 vibes. So I think this one's going to be really top-notch. It's looking a good level above where they came before without losing what came before. It's kind of reminded me of the, you know, Bubsy era kind of 3D platformer, but done right.
With old I was going to say, that's a terrible comparison.
Yeah, if Bubsy 3D was a good video game, it would be like this, and then you have a grappling hook. What's not to love?
It's a bit, I was going to say Friday, it's not right. It's a bit like Ford releasing the latest car, and so I'm going, oh yeah, that really reminds me of the Lada era.
Yes, it's got, imagine the Fiat Puma, but with good styling. The Multipla, that's the one.
Oh, the Multipla was, oh no, dumb. Oh, I'm going to vomit. Oh, that was an ugly car. Yeah, I've got to say, this one, the visuals of this one, I would describe, it's not really N64 anymore. It's like N64 Plus. It's like that you can see it's very, very definitely supposed to be an N64 style, but the textures and the lighting and everything is just a lot crisper and brighter and better.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of the remaster of Super Mario 64 on the DS, where it's like, it's technically got better graphics, you know, still kind of low, you know, pixel screen, but it's got better textures in there, it's kind of got more detailed models, you know, it definitely couldn't run on N64.
Yeah, that is a really good description, and if it's anything like its predecessor, it will probably get really well received, because, well, the team seem to know what they're doing, and they've had enough time now to develop another good game in the meantime, so that's quite exciting. We'll just need to keep an eye out and see when it's actually going to hit our shores, because all we know is summer sometime. Let's talk about the Nintendo Switch Online, because we've got a whole load of announcements. There's a whole load of games being dumped? I've sort of lost track. Are they already out, or are they coming out?
I believe these are all out now.
Excellent. So, we have got, from the Game Boy, we're getting Kirby's Dream Land 2 and Burger Time Deluxe. For the SNES, we're getting Side Pocket. And for the NES, we're getting a game I presume you pronounce Xevious. It starts with an X, but I'm guessing it's Xevious. Kirby's Dream Land 2 is a classic, but I've never actually played Burger Time. I've always heard of it. I watched the trailer for it. I cannot figure out what is going on or what you're supposed to be doing in it. Do you have any idea what's happening in that game?
So I remember the original Burger Time. I believe it's like you go up ladders and then you basically you hit different bits and then you build a burger that stacks. And yeah, it's a wonderful game. I think I did it on one of the Ataris at one point. But overall, decent selection of games with a little bit of a kind of filler game with a Side Pocket. Really excited to do Kirby's Dream Land 2. Kirby Dream Land on the Game Boy is one of my go-to titles. I've got this lovely pink Game Boy Pocket and the cartridge just fits in, so I'm always going back to Kirby. So I'm excited to finally play Dreamland 2, and then yeah, Xevious, Burger Time, all classics. Side Pocket is apparently a decent pull game for the SNES, but it's maybe not one that I think most people will be incredibly hyped for.
No, I mean, it's got all the usual mechanics of there's some balls and some dotted lines showing you where your ball's going to go when you hit it, and then you hit it, and there's some tricks in there, and sure, solid little game, that's absolutely fine, nothing wrong with that. When I watched the bit for Xevious, I was thinking, did I own this game? I think it's more just the fact, at that era in time, a lot of games looked quite similar, because you were relatively limited with the graphics, and this is just a top-down, you know, scrolly shooter type thing of the old ilk. But there are certain bits of it, specifically, I thought, that's really familiar. I may have played that 30-odd years ago, I just don't know.
Yeah, you know, Xevious was a pioneer of that genre of game, but you know, by the time the NES was around, it was starting to get a little bit long in the tooth, so there's been many derivatives of it, but classic nonetheless. I do miss the 3D version on the Master System, though. True entertainment.
Bless. That's a whole other level. That's just, you can't compare the two of them, NES and Master System. Well, you can't actually, because they're pretty much similar bedfellows, really, weren't they?
Yeah, and I think you can learn a lot more about that if you check out the back catalogue on the Patreon. We've done a bunch of different shows on there, like the prequel roundup. There's also a whole bunch of different rewards, like listening live, the Discord, getting last call.
I went through this week and I clicked on every single prequel, last call, and roundup that we have put out in the last 4 years or so, because I had to go and enable them for the new Patreon tiers. We have made a lot of content, Anton. There is so much stuff there.
Yeah, I feel like out of the total volume of content we produced, this main show makes up like 30% of that.
If that. I mean, there's just so many things we put out. I hadn't quite grasped how productive we had been over the years.
Indeed. So do check it out. It's £2 per month. And that's enough shameless plugging.
Exactly. Let's carry on with some more news. SpriteCell.com has published the Shigeru Miyamoto Archives, a collection of 450 chats, interviews, discussions, direct appearances, and E3 appearances spanning from 1985 through to 2023. Ah, this is lovely.
Yeah, this is just such a vital, incredible resource for anybody doing, you know, Nintendo history, gaming history. It's amazing. You know, you watch documentaries and, you know, the reason they get so deep is they'll just have these researchers finding all these lost tapes and all that sort of stuff. So having this accessible, easy, very consumable, you know, you can kind of go through and read, you know, full interviews or watch full interviews, or you can go through and kind of get summaries of what they're talking about. So, you know, I'm sure if you wanted to find Miyamoto's, you know, opinions on near enough anything that Nintendo's done, it's in here. It's just very neatly done and very impressive work done by SpriteCell.com. And, you know, I hope they continue, you know, their, I guess, journalistic archiving. It's incredible.
It is fantastic. And let's face it, anything to do with Shigeru makes me happy because he's just, there's something about him. He just has this wonderfully adorable, cute, lovable energy. I can imagine behind closed doors, he could maybe get angry and be difficult to deal with, but certainly his public persona is just the sweetest man alive.
Yeah, from what I can gather, he had a little bit of a diva era in the 90s when just, you know, being an auteur, but kind of has grown into a very respected manager and kind of creative mentor at Nintendo. So, you know, a great career all round.
Indeed, and speaking of mentors at Nintendo, our next story is about Doug Bowser, current mentor of Nintendo in the USA. I'm right in saying that, right?
Indeed, yes.
Yes, exactly. So he was talking about the price point for The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, whatever the heck you want to call it. And he said, the price point reflects the type of experience that fans can expect when it comes to playing this particular game. This isn't a price point that we'll necessarily have on all of our titles. And one of the reasons that even going into year 7, we feel very confident that the Switch can have a strong performance over the next few years. There's a few things to unpack from that. There's the time frame that they're expecting the Switch to go from. There's the fact that they're not expecting all their games to be at this retail price, and an expectation that this game is going to be vast, huge, and all-encompassing, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. They're, you know, kind of breaking it all apart. You know, I've seen some people being like, nah, they're going to just start charging everything for 70. And, you know, I think there's room to believe that. You know, Nintendo do like have their games at high prices, but I think we've seen a little bit of changing of habits recently with stuff like Metroid Prime Remastered and the most recent WarioWare. We're starting to get some more fluidness in the pricing, which is great to see, and I hope it is just the case. You know, if we get these unicorn games, you know, the Odysseys, the Breath of the Wilds, you know, as much as, you know, I love, you know, ARMS, I don't think it should be in the same bracket. You know, ARMS can be £40. Not really. It can be £40, Breath of the Wild, £50. I'm all for that. Then, as well as that, you know, iterating the Nintendo Switch has got a lot more steam in it. You know, we've heard this a lot. I feel like if we were getting it anytime soon, it would be like the Switch version of the game is, you know, at the usual $44.99, and then you're paying the £60 for the Switch 2 version. I think the fact that they're doing the price jump mid-generation is an indication that we've got a lot longer in the Nintendo Switch, but year 7, my God. Not even acting like it's the end.
No, and it's crazy. I mean, are we in year 7? I thought we were only year 6. It launched in 2017, right? This is 2023. So I know only 6 years by my maths.
We're going into year 7. So if you like from March...
Fair enough.
2017, you consider that year 1 starting. But yeah, ridiculous.
It is crazy. Yeah, I'm very much in two minds about this whole price point thing. Because I get the fact that games are costing eye-watering sums of money to develop these days, and when you make something as expensive as a GTA or a Breath of the Wild, that requires an inordinate number of people and an inordinate number of hours to make that thing, plus all the incalculable talent and all that kind of stuff. So games do need to be charging a relatively decent price for them. And if you compare going to the cinema and watching a movie which lasts for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and that's going to cost you a tenner, to playing one of these games which is going to last several hundred hours, going to cost you 60 or 70 quid, it is a ridiculous bargain. But at the same time, I'm cheap and often poor, and I won't pay 60 or 70 quid for a video game. I will have to wait till it comes down because I just can't justify that chunk of cash to go out on a game. I just can't. That's 6 months of Netflix. Well, okay, maybe Netflix is a bad choice. 6 months of any other streaming platform. It's like 3 months of Netflix, but still.
Yeah, it's, you know, sensible brain. It's like they haven't put up the price of video games since the SNES era, and they've got more expensive. And this is a substantial big video game, and, you know, Xbox and PlayStation have already done this. Monkey brain be like, I hate it. I want cheap video game. I like it how it is. So, you know, I'm just hoping we just get more deviation in pricing. I'm okay, you know, Grand Theft Auto 6, happily play 100 for it. I'm sure it's worth it. You know, the next Assassin's Creed, maybe a little less.
It's funny, it's a slight tangent, but we're having a discussion in the Discord a week or two ago. There's a sale on, and I think some game, I can't remember what it was, some game had gone on sale, but it was a higher price than it had been on sale before. And there was sort of outrage for a while until we all started going, well, actually, having said that, the developers' costs have gone through the roof because, you know, energy prices are insane and you pretty much need energy to make a video game. You're either paying for the lights or the computing power or the both, and it is only energy. So their costs will have gone up astronomically. Plus, the cost of their labour will have gone up by however much they've been getting the private sector, I don't know, 5%, 10%, whatever they've got in the last year or two. So their costs have gone up massively. So really, we can't expect the games to get cheaper and cheaper and cheaper because that doesn't work. That would cause the end of the games industry. So as much as I don't like costs going up, I sort of understand it and feel that I shouldn't be too upset, and I would be willing to pay, you know, a bit more for stuff because I want to keep the games industry going. I just don't think I can justify sky high prices that are out with what my pocket can reasonably afford.
Yeah, I just think overall as an industry, we're just having to reconsider how we do video game pricing. You know, we go back to the early 2000s. Everything was £50, and then, you know, 5 years pass, and then it's £1. And to a degree, it makes sense because they were just degrading in impressiveness so much quicker. You know, going from Gran Turismo 4 to 5, 4 looks like a tech demo compared to what they did with 5. But now that we've got, you know, slower evolution of games, they're lasting on the marketplace a lot longer. We have indie games, which, you know, Cuphead looks just as good as it did in 2016 when it launched. You know, that game can live at its, like, $17.99 price tag probably for the rest of its life. It's not going to go out of date. So expecting developers to just constantly be pushing down their prices, I know it's a lot of things that, even if it's down by like a couple P's, you know, the developers are like trying to make this the cheapest it's ever been. And it's just a race to the bottom, which is just not fair for developers.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So, yeah, as much as we might gripe, we realise it's probably a sensible thing. And really, we just need to get on with it and accept the fact that video games need to get paid because developers need to get paid. Okay, let's move on to our next story, which is about Splatoon 3 and more specifically the next Splatfest, which is announced for the first one in April 2023, where you get to choose between Nessie, Aliens and Bigfoot. So, Anton, which team are you going on? Team Nessie, Team Aliens or Team Bigfoot?
Oh, it's got to be Nessie. We need to uphold that Scottish legacy. You know, it's the only choice. I can only presume you agree.
I would probably go Team Aliens. I mean,
this is nothing against Scottish heritage.
Yeah, but I'm the least Scottish Scotsman you'll ever meet. And I love Aliens. Aliens are just cool. I mean, I don't believe they've ever visited Earth. Probably haven't. I don't care. I'm sure they're up there and they're awesome. I just love all things aliens. I'm going Team Alien. Shut up.
Next time you go self, Nessie's not letting you back up. I'm sorry.
Mate, I went looking for Nessie when I was at Loch Ness last time. Didn't see her. No one else has. Pretty sure she doesn't exist.
No,
whereas
no,
aliens
no.
probably do.
So you don't see Nessie. Moon. Nessie sees you. And I haven't seen any alien.
Well, good to know where we are. We're on opposite sides. This is fine. If we can just get a mic to pick up Team Bigfoot, then
it's Civil War. Yeah. On a lighter note, yeah, I think I'm going to try and pick up Splatoon 3 soon if my Garbo Boy Jr. lives another week. We'll see. It has to pass the goldfish test before I buy more.
I mean, it's a first-party Nintendo game, so you need to shell out, what, 90 quid, 100 quid for that one?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right. Well, that's all our main stories. We did say there wasn't really much to go on this week. We do have a turbo mode, though. So I think we should probably strap ourselves in, pull on the nitrous lever, and go screaming into turbo mode.
Yes.
Family.
So, as usual, I will rattle through these, and then I'll ask you to pick out if any of these stories that you may want to talk about. So, the next free game trial for Nintendo Switch Online subscribers is going to be FIFA 23 Legacy Edition. Join the pitch on the 20th of March. Illumination have shared a video of Red Wing shoes making the replica Mario boots that are on display in Nintendo's New York store. Minecraft gets a significant bug and quality of life update preceding its next large 1.20 update. Temtem Season 3 Clash of Tamers is out now and gets new balance fixes, improvements, Nanto Labs, Luma drops, Nuzlocke, Random Lock, and Speedrun modes. And if I've got them wrong, Anton, you can tell me I've got them wrong afterwards. River City Girls 2 is getting a new update featuring performance improvements and a new Game Plus mode. Natsume shares dozens of Harvest Moon, The Wind of Anthos screenshots. My Nintendo Store Europe has posters for Super Mario Land 2, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and Metroid 2 Return of Samus. Theater Rhythm Final Bar Line Update has added The World Ends With You music. Nintendo showcases the Mario Kart Tour Ninja Tour. Again, we've had that, I think, three times now. And YouTuber Gerard the Completionist Cali spends $22,000, another $791, so $22,791, buying every 3DS and Wii U game. Right, I managed to fumble my way through that. I think I sort of knocked over a few pant bots on the way through that, but what do you want to talk about, Anton?
Oh, yeah, so of course, being the resident Minecrafter, I'm just always impressed by the scale and quantity of updates. You know, they're pitching this new update they've got as like, oh, we're just cleaning up things before we do our big 1.20 update. A whole new game every single time. They bring in it. So that's very exciting. Great to see Theater Rhythm Final Bar getting more content. It's just such a good candidate to just get more content rather than, you know, going ahead and, you know, making brand new entries. So I'm glad to see they're keeping it up to date, making it a more complete experience. And then finally, The Completionists, buying every 3DS and Wii U game for the sake of completionists, or completing, and video game preservation is kind of the main angle here, which, you know, video game preservation is very, very important, but it seems wild to me, because there are rips of these elsewhere, and eventually, you know, Nintendo will take down the servers or stop it connecting to the servers they've got for, you know, downloading these games. It does feel like throwing a lot of money into a Nintendo-shaped fire.
Pretty much. I mean, that is an extravagant amount of money, but as you say, all in a good cause. And, I mean, I applaud them for doing so. Good on them. I don't know what they'll do with them. Will they just keep hold of them? Will they sell the collection? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. It's all digital, so that it's not like physical games. It's you know, you're just loading up a whole load of games, getting them all tied to your Nintendo ID for the time being. I'm just hoping that if there's games that haven't been digitized, or kind of have been ripped, this is a great opportunity to get them ripped, you know, in case they're lost forever.
I mean, you're going to need an awful lot of SD cards.
Absolutely. The internet.
Cool. Well, I think that was one of the main ones that I probably want to pull out. We really wish we had Mike with us, because I'm sure he would have something to say about FIFA 23 Legacy Edition being the free-to-play game on Nintendo Switch Online. Or at least the trial, I should say. I struggle to get excited by the FIFA games. I know a lot of people do, and I don't actually know whether people will be very happy that they can trial this, or whether they'll be angry because, you know, it's a rubbish game, or whether people just won't care because if you like FIFA, you've probably gone and bought it, and if you don't like FIFA, you're just never going to play it anyway. So I'm intrigued to know what the uptake of the trial will be.
Yeah, it could go either way, because, you know, it has a ridiculously bad reputation for it repeating content. But, you know, it doesn't mean that someday, you know, there's possibly people being out there that have read the reviews and be like, oh, I hate it. And then they do this free trial and they're like, actually, it's out of date, but fundamentally it's the game I enjoy. So, you know, it might get some new players, or alternatively people might pick up and be like, oh, this is the same as the FIFA, like, 2018 version I bought on the Switch.
Yeah, identical game, differently skinned. Yeah, so we'll see how that one goes. Natsume sharing the Harvest Moon, the Winds of Athos screenshots is kind of cool. I mean, the last few Harvest Moon games have all been less than spectacular, I think is maybe how you describe them. They really need to redeem themselves with this one. And the screenshots, they do look very pretty. But you can't really get a lot from screenshots. The problem with the last one wasn't really that it didn't look pretty. They're just rubbish games. This one hasn't really given us much to go on, but they've gone for, a slightly different aesthetic to the last time I saw a Harvest Moon, but I don't know if I'm wrong.
Indeed, it's a lot less grid-like and seems almost open-world-ish. It definitely feels like they're trying a lot harder with it. I just hope they can stick the landing, because I won't lie, as you mentioned, the last ones haven't been very good, and from the offset you can just clearly see that they don't look very good and have been not very well received. But this one actually looks like they put in effort, so fingers crossed they can bring it back and offer a different experience, you know, maybe be the AAA option, and then we have Stardew as the indie option. Put them in different places.
Yeah, that would be great. We'll see. They've gone to the sort of, it's very anime kind of style, I guess, that style of artwork. It will hopefully work well. Keep your eyes peeled for the next couple of months. There will probably be a trailer coming our way in the not too distant future. I wouldn't be surprised if we see it pop up at the next Nintendo Direct, to be honest.
Very possibly. I think that's a guarantee.
Yeah. All right, well, that was it for news, which really just leaves us with rumours. So I'm going to put on my rumour pants and wander into my rumour room and see what we've got to look at. Well, that was a weird way to introduce this section.
Your scandalous rumour room. so many screens, so little lights.
And my rumour pants. I mean, I didn't know I owned a pair of rumour pants, but apparently I do.
Exactly. You know, in the rumour room, you don't even need pants.
Let's not go there. The Pokemon Company have posted a job opening that encompasses, are you ready for it, blockchain, NFTs, and Web3 technologies. Yeah, I knew that sigh was coming. I mean, I'm surprised you actually couldn't even hold off to the end of the sentence before moaning. Have at it, Anton. Just go for it. Let the floodgates open. Let the bile out.
Yeah, you know, I think the terrifying thing here is how many kids will just consume anything Pokemon for any age bracket. So I'm just hoping this is done in a safe, good way if they do pursue this. You know, theoretically, all of these technologies could be used for good. There's been a lot of using them for malicious ways or just exploitative ways. Fingers crossed for the best here. Not inherently bad. You know, maybe even having, you know, within of, you know, Pokemon Go, for instance, having each Pokemon be a unique token that, you know, exists once and can be traded. Maybe there's some benefits in there. I just hope this is done in a unexploitative manner. You know, they're not just selling JPEGs.
I mean, in a way, I kind of always thought that Pokemon kind of... they almost were NFTs. Every Pokemon is unique. You can trade them around because they've all got a unique ID tag. Now, okay, it might not be in the blockchain, but they are a unique individual entity that travels around when it gets transferred from owner to owner. So they kind of already were, in a way, an NFT. Am I wrong?
Yeah, you know, I think the best case I've heard for the benefits of NFT has been for like DLC in video games, like the clothes that you buy, you know, having it be, you know, you actually own it, you don't own access to it, has a lot of merit here. So, you know, being able to actually own your Pokemon, very similar idea. You know, it could be done well. It will just have a lot of obstacles to kind of get around in. And I think in terms of, especially of how they brand this, will be very interesting if they do pursue any NFT efforts. You know, this might just be a, you know, a voice from up top, you know, wanting to chuck some buzzwords out there.
Well, I mean, I do have slight hope, because so far the Pokemon Company have not been bad at monetizing things. There are so many opportunities they could have taken to put out, you know, pay us this much for a different costume for this Pikachu, and pay us all these microtransaction opportunities have been around for years, and they've not taken advantage of them. It probably is the right phrase. They've just not done that. And that does give me slight hope. The closest I can come up with is Pokemon Go, where it was monetized, but it was a mobile platform, and you weren't incentivized to buy specific little silly things. You could buy things to help you if you wanted to, but you could still play the game quite comfortably without ever paying a single penny. I haven't got an issue with that. That is fine. So, you know, This might be well-intentioned.
Only time will tell.
Quite right. All right, our next rumour comes from, journalist Nick Anton, how do you pronounce that?
Oh.
Do you have an idea?
Oh, no idea. You did wonderfully.
Nick Baker. Nick Baker, who I presume their online handle, if that's even a phrase anymore, is SHPESHAL_Nick. There you go. Go with that. They have mentioned that on the Xbox Era podcast, Namco might be looking at something, we don't know what they said, whether we're just getting the original Soul Calibur remastered or if they're doing a remaster collection of the games. So basically what I'm taking from that garbled mess is that we might be getting a remaster of Soul Calibur. What do you think?
Indeed, and I think it would make a lot of sense. You know, Soul Calibur was up there, the latest and greatest. And then after Soul Calibur 5, there's been nothing. And those original games were classics. I would love to see Soul Calibur 2 with, like, Link in it. You know, update it. So, you know, you've got, like, Modern Link on Nintendo. On Xbox, you've got Modern Master Chief. I'm trying to think, was it Kratos in the PS2 version? Go ham. I love it. I like it. You know, they were really, really good games. I always loved like having no walls on the stages and just try to basically sumo wrestle them off, even though there is actual fighting to be had, but if you sumo wrestle them off, it feels cheeky. Great game.
I honestly have no idea if I've ever played a Soul Calibur. I'm pretty sure I owned one at some point, but never quite got to grips with it, because I think I'd been playing things like Tekken and stuff and was very much in Tekken Street Fighter. And I think moving to Soul Calibur, it was, from memory, it was a very different game and I just couldn't get into it. So this is less exciting for me than it is for other people, but I get the fact that a lot of people love them.
Yeah, I kind of get the impression that, you know, you either pick Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter, or you pick Soul Calibur or Tekken. You know, that's the duality, that, you know, you can't have both.
Yeah, well, I was firmly in the Tekken camp. Tekken is pretty much the reason. Tekken 3 is the reason I bought my PlayStation 2? 3? I forget which one that was on. 2. Yeah, that was the reason I bought a PS2, was Tekken 3. I loved it.
Yeah, it was the motivator for me to get... It was like Tekken 6 was the motivator for me to get my first arcade stick. It was a great game. I got 7. I've never actually played it. It's still in its shrink wrap, which is embarrassing.
That is embarrassing. Well, don't play it with Mike. Actually, no, do play it with Mike. You're guaranteed to win. Hands down. Mike is rubbish.
Excellent. Victory shall be mine. We don't have Tekken on the Switch, do we?
No. Don't think so. Pretty sure there's no Tekken on the Switch. I don't recall ever having covered it.
Yeah. I think the last Tekken we had on a Nintendo console was Tag Force 2 on the Wii U. That is a... a pitiful shame. And yeah,
the closest we have was Pokemon Tournament D. There was a cross somewhere. There was a cross game where Tekken characters were in one of them.
Pokemon Tournament, yeah.
Yes. I feel that that was the closest we got.
Hmm. Interesting, yeah. Alrighty. I'm going to riot until we get Tekken.
Cool. Good plan. You do that. And in the meantime, I'm going to talk about our last rumour, which is that Metroid Zero Mission screenshots were found inside of the GBA Nintendo Switch Online app. Which is kind of cool. More Metroid will always go down well.
Indeed, and getting more games in the GBA Online, excellent stuff. Getting one that is not a SNES game is also excellent, and yeah, very lovely to have it. Is there any Game Boy Advance games you still want to see make their way over?
I never owned one, so I never played a single, to this day I have never played a single Game Boy Advance game. So it's a whole era of Nintendo gaming that I have no opinion or knowledge of, which is sad and disappointing. It should probably be remedied, but I've not got time in my day to remedy it.
You know, one day, you know, you've got the Switch now. Who needs a Game Boy? I still want to see the Sonic Advance games personally, but it's never going to happen, so I'll live another day.
And there you go. That's it. That is our show for this week. I think we've covered pretty much everything. We may as well round up by saying where people can get hold of us. As usual, you can drop me an old-fashioned email on podcast@nsukp.co.uk, or you can head over to our website, which is nsukp.co.uk, where, well, there's a whole load of stuff on there. Let's face it, it kind of needs a bit of a revamp. It'll happen at some point. We're on Facebook, kinda, sort of. We're definitely on Twitter, at NSUKP, you know, at NSUK podcast. But again, we don't retweet that much, Anton. So
we tweet all the Patreon episodes when they're live.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, cool.
And yeah, there is a new website coming. I did actually try to start it today, but Squarespace gave me a headache, so I stopped. So it's coming.
At some point, you know, we should have been one of those podcasts that Squarespace advertises on, so we at least get slightly cheaper Squarespace-iness, because we're using their product.
Yeah, apparently they don't even do that. Apparently they just pay you the check and you have to pay for your own website these days, which is a shame.
I mean, I still take the check. It would be nice.
Yeah, yeah. If you have checks for us, do send them at podcast@nsukp.co.uk.
Quite right. And on that note, I'm just going to round off by saying cheerio.
Au revoir.